today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hanging out at the record shops. Go to a concert, the boredom stops. Went to the bayou, they said, no. You're not 18, you can't see the show.
Hi there, everyone. Happy Friday to you all. My name is Patrick Foster, and you are tuned in to the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. On behalf of my good friend, co-founder, and co-host Jim Linehan, I want to welcome everybody to this Friday episode of What Was First? I like to call these bite-sized history lessons, where we dig into the first release on labels that we like, labels that we enjoy, labels that we think were important, and anything, really, that somebody thinks is interesting. And we've compiled quite a list of suggestions from the community out there, and it's up near the 50 mark now, 50 different labels on this list. As we go through them, every time we're going to bring up an episode of What Was First, I like to spin the musical wheel and just put it into a random generator, number generator, and pick one out, and I've given everyone a number. And today we spun the wheel and came up with number 10, and that just happened to be a record label I know a little something about. It's Discord Records from Washington, D.C. This was sent in on a list by Mark Neese a while back, so I want to thank Mark very much. And Discord, man, it's a great record label, obviously. One of the most influential in punk rock history. One of the most influential for me, certainly. Some of my all-time favorite bands appeared on the Discord label. Just to name a few: Minor Threat, Fugazi, Rites of Spring, Grey Matter, Fire Party, Beefeater, many, many more. And the group that put out the very first record on Discord was actually formed in 1979, although the record didn't come out till almost the end of 1980. And the group we're talking about is the Teen Idles. And that is spelled T-E-N-I-D-L-E. So they were just kind of idly sitting around as teenagers, essentially. Over on allmusic.com, there's a very good biography of the Teen Idles. And I'm going to read from that to you now. I actually happen to know the author personally, so I don't think he'll mind me reading this here. So let me quote you and give you sort of the background on the Teen Idles. The biography says, quote, "Despite only being extant for roughly 14 months, the Teen Idles were a crucial band in Washington, D.C. punk rock history. The quartet, which featured Discord Records founders Ian MacKay and Jeff Nelson, released that label's first record and established many of the physical and philosophical beachheads, including those of the greatly misunderstood straight edge movement, that set the stage for one of America's greatest hardcore bands to emerge, Minor Threat. Formed in the summer of 1979 out of the ashes of a high school band called the Slinkies, the Teen Idles consisted of singer Nathan Strejcek, guitarist Jordy Grindle, with Jeff Nelson on drums, and MacKay, who wrote many of the group's lyrics, on bass. The group's roadie and, quote, fifth Teen Idol was Henry Garfield, who later became better known as Henry Rollins. Initially, the Teen Idles were inspired by British punk, DC weirdo band White Boy, and later by California hardcore. But the teenage group's real guiding light came from seminal DC punk's Bad Brains, with whom they sometimes shared the stage at legendary DC punk dive Madam's Organ. The Idols played short and speedy songs with titles like Get Up and Go, I Drink Milk, Too Young to Rock, that attempted to roar and speed like the Bad Brains. Their anthem, Teen Idles, declared that they were bored to tears, a waste of 20 years. The band made a trip to California in the summer of 1980 that was a financial disaster, but provided an invaluable lesson in West Coast hardcore. The band brought back the ferocity of California's legendary Huntington Beach punks and the idea for all-ages shows that they had witnessed firsthand at the seminal San Francisco club, Mabahay Gardens. Upon returning to D.C., the group recorded their eight-song 7-inch. And it's true, folks. The first record released on Discord Records, Discord number one, was the Teen Idols' Minor Disturbance EP. It came out in December of 1980. And on the front of that record, you'll see Ian MacKay's brother, Alec, and a picture of his hands crossed with two X's on his hands. And this symbol became the symbol of the All Ages show, which the Teen Idols were finally able to get going in D.C. For a while, they couldn't really play anywhere except for places like basements, and Madam's Organ being one exception, because none of the band was 21 years old, and they had a 21-year-old policy, or at least an 18-year-old policy in some places, so not all their fans could get in. And this was something that they worked to correct, and that's a great example of it on the cover of the Minor Disturbance EP. The band actually went into a local studio in February and April of 1980 and recorded some demos, but the people who were engineering the record and another group of musicians that were in the studio were actually laughing at the Teen Idols as they played, and they ended up being, as you might expect, pretty unsatisfied with those recordings. And as I said, when they got back from California, they met Skip Groff, who owned the record store Yesterday and Today, and a lot of the members went there to shop. It was up the street there in Maryland. Skip Groff was familiar with a guy called Don Zientara, and he owned a little studio that he ran out of his basement. It was called, he called it Inner Ear Studio. It was basically a four track with some other gear. He had the recording console set up on the porch and ran cables down to the basement where the band would set up and play, a pretty small place. And Skip Groff came along to produce. Don Zientara was quoted in Mike Lazarad's book, Our Band Could Be Your Life, talking about this recording session, and he said that it was them against the world, and they played music with that in mind. The music, it was, let's give it 100% for a minute and a half, and then drop out of sheer exhaustion, then shove it out of the way and get on to the next one. It wasn't like we were taking the time to do more takes and record this for posterity. Seven tracks were recorded in total. However, the band didn't have an immediate plan for the tapes, and they just sort of held on to them. Eventually, the band would break up, but not before touring quite a bit. It was all the way in October of 1980 when they finally broke up. Georgie Grindel became disillusioned with the direction of the band and sort of punk rock and music in general, and went in a different direction. And the band had saved up quite a bit of money, somewhere apparently in the neighborhood of $500 or $600 from this touring, and they saved everything they made. And so they were going to either divide the money up between the members of the group, or they could take the money and take the tapes they made and press them. And that's what they did. And it's a good thing, because if they'd gone in the other direction, maybe Discord Records would have never existed. But the first edition was pressed up, 1,000 copies. They got a cover made, black and white cover, on very heavy cover stock, again, that had the picture I was talking about. Jeff Nelson, as he would for many Discord Records down the years, created the design and did the layout and the graphics. Very punk, very black and white, a shot of a crowd at a show on the back. And inside, there's a little fold-out with the lyrics and some pictures of the group. And Discord Records number one, the Teen Idols, 33 and a third RPM, four songs on side one, and essentially four songs with kind of a medley on side two, including a live track recorded at the 930 Club. And it was issued in December of 1980 in an edition of 1,000. And there's a second pressing that came out. Let's go ahead and listen to a song on the first side. I would play the first song, Teen Idols, but since it's only 44 seconds long, you don't get much of a real sense of exactly what the music is. Let's go ahead and listen to the second track. It's called Sneakers. There it is, folks. A raw, powerful blast of punk rock. And you can certainly understand what Don Zientar was talking about when he said they would just go until they could collapse. I mean, there's no way you can continue at that pace for too long, right? More than a minute and a half anyway. Pretty amazing stuff. Super influential, as I said, super important. And there's lots of information about this record out there, too. And it's also, you know, one of the things I loved about Discord, and I may have said this before in this podcast, is that they worked always to keep the music in print. It may not have been in the original form that it was issued, but it was always in print. There's a lot of compilations. There's one called The Year in 7 Inches, 1981, that came out. There's many collections. There's a couple songs issued on compilations here and there, but always you could find it. And now there's even a Bandcamp page dedicated to just this Minor Disturbance EP. You go to teenisles.bandcamp.com, Minor Disturbance. You can get the whole thing for $4 if you want to download it, and you can stream the whole thing right there and get a sense of what it is. It's pretty amazing. Let's go back to the record and listen to a song called Fleeting Fury. Wow, Fleeting Fury, that's a pretty a good description of what it is you get right there. Pretty good description of the entire Minor Disturbance EP, for sure. And certainly you can hear the roots of Minor Threat in that. Jeff Nelson's drumming style, certainly. The way the songs are structured, as we said, Ian MacKaye wrote a lot of the lyrics. And the concerns that he had would be amped up in different ways in Minor Threat. But the raw anger and the way he viewed the world and the way he viewed the music scene in D.C. Are all sort of already in place with the Teen Idols. And certainly Ian's vocals were landmark in punk rock. I mean, I think there's a lot of different places where you can hear his influence vocally as it goes down the years. So, yeah, there it is. The first one, Discord 1, just with the number 1, no 001, none of that stuff, although it may be cataloged as that somewhere along the line. The first edition, as you might imagine, the very first one of 1,000 is highly collectible. I'm looking here on Discogs. There are two for sale right now, both from the United States. One advertises no lyric sheet, but the original inner sleeve, and that's going for $940.91. And the other one says it's got everything in it, and the sleeve is very good. Side B is a tiny pop in time with the music, and that price is $1,400, and you want to throw in $5 for shipping there. So, if you want to branch out for the original edition on 7-inch vinyl of Minor Disturbance by the Teen Idols, it's going to cost you a bit. Now, there is a second pressing that's out there, too. Slight differences on the back cover, the address, little things here and there that are slightly different, but it still remains obviously a great and highly collectible piece of vinyl, and certainly a time capsule. And boy, aren't we glad they decided to document those tapes instead of just dividing the money up. Who knows where it would have gone. All right. So thanks for listening very much, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. It's coming up, and want to tell everyone, please be safe out there. Please be aware. All right. And we're going to play out with a song called Get Up and Go from the Teen Idols Minor Disturbance EP, the first record issued on Discord Records. So that's what you'll hear as we go out. I want to remind you that we'd love to have your suggestions for what was first. If you have any ideas, if you want to make any corrections, you want to add anything to this story, please get in touch. You can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on the social medias at suburbspod, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And of course, you can always stick your head out the window and yell. Someone will eventually come and see what it is you need. And on behalf of my good friend, co-host, and co-founder, Jim Linehan, we will talk to you guys next week. You can talk about talent. Tell us what you do. Tell us how you do it. Why you gotta go? Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Pick up my sources. Maybe I come to lose. Then we never practice. Maybe they come to you. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. I actually happen to know the author personally, so I don't think he'll mind.